Okay. Elders, you know who you are. I need to see you all for just a couple minutes right after the service today. So we just need, I need to talk to you quickly as a group. Again, I want to remind everybody about the family dinner on Friday. I've been talking with a couple of ladies, and they are just excited about this event. You're gonna have a great time. I always do. Invite your friends. It's a wonderful way to introduce people to the church and let them know that, hey, you know, church is fun too. And Phyllis, is there going to be food? Don't need to bring anything. Again, remember, no bikinis, no Speedos. It's a beach theme, but we don't want to go too far. Okay. Have you been doing your Seek God for the City? So you fall off the wagon. It's okay. Pick it up. Do it again. You can start today. You know? If you don't have a book, you lost your book, pick up another one. We've got a few of them. This week, it's about evangelizing of every people. Evangelization of every people. That's the focus this next week. The song that Butch was singing, even the scripture that we're going to be looking at today, I think deals with that. And certainly, we have these missionaries coming back from out in the field. Why is God bringing missionaries back to the U.S.? Well, I'm thinking because we need them, because we got the mission field here. So let's focus on that in our prayer. And let's get back into going through this book. Again, it's just something to help us as a group to pray together, be praying the same direction each day, and to prepare ourselves as individuals and as the body for Easter. We want to come to Easter ready to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Granted, we should be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord each and every day, but yet on Easter, we really want to do it. So, this morning we're going to continue with our study in 2 Corinthians. So we're working our way through the letters to the Corinthians. We are in chapter 3. We're going to start with the 7th verse. If you want to pick up your Bible and read with me, or you can look on the screen again. I encourage you, bring your Bibles. You can underline, you can write notes if you have your Bible. You can put it right there. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with that surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away, but their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that we don't have to guess what Your will is, but that You've laid it out, You've written it out. Lord, we don't need to wonder where we can get encouragement. You've put it here. You've put it here in Your Word, the Bible. Lord, we turn to it now. And we ask, Father God, that You would send that Holy Spirit to open up the Scripture to our hearts and our minds, that You would reveal to us through our intellect and through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit what it is You would have us to do, how You would have us to apply this to our lives today. Lord, I pray for myself that as I come and preach this morning, that Your anointing would be upon me. Lord, I pray that You would use me to be an encourager to Your people, that we here might all be a light for those who are in darkness. Lord, that we might be encouragers for those who are in bondage, that we might bring hope to the hopeless. Father, let Your presence be here this morning. Let Your people be encouraged and blessed. Let Your word be spoken in power. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, Paul brought out the fact that the law was written on stone, yet the Holy Spirit came and wrote upon hearts. That God's grace and mercy was written on our hearts and not on stone. Now, up until the day of Christ, up until even His crucifixion and resurrection, then ascension, and the day of Pentecost, and the coming of the Holy Spirit in power, until the Holy Spirit came in power, which could not happen before Easter and the resurrection, the greatest glory that the earth and we humans could participate in, be part of, was indeed the law. It was the law that separated the people of God from the world. It was the law that God gave to the people of Israel, which pointed the way to the Christ. See, it was the sign that said, "This way, Jesus." So until Jesus, there was nothing better. And we see that again and again through Scripture. We see God's hand move. We see the presence of the living God leading Israel through the wilderness. A pillar of smoke by day, a pillar of fire by night. And yet, that is the greatest thing event until Jesus walked this earth and then gave us, those who turn and believe in Him, the Holy Spirit. See, for that he speaks of it as a fading glory. We have that example with Moses' face. See, as Moses went into the presence of God, God's glory just bathed over him and washed over him. And when he left, that glory was reflected off. Now, I got this idea yesterday, and if I would have had time, I would have gone out and done this. But I try to picture this in your minds. I'm going to do this with mind pictures instead of a physical demonstration. But how many of you have seen these things which glow at night because you lay them out in the sun during the day? Okay? I've got a watch which has those little the numbers on it. Do that during the day. It kind of absorbs radiation. And then if you shut off the light, it's bright enough I can see what time it is. The problem is that about 5 a.m., it's run out of juice. There's no more glowing. So I looked at my watch at 5 a.m. and I can't see nothing. Moses had the glory of the Lord upon him. And when he first came out, it was very bright. So bright that he covered his face with a veil. But he also covered it because it was also diminishing. See, the glory got less as time went on. The glory was fading. Because God's presence wasn't within Moses. Moses had just been within God's presence and been washed in it. And he had, if you would, absorbed some of it and was reflecting it back out. Now we're told that we're to reflect the light of Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about. He tells us that we're reflectors of the glory of God. But there's a difference. See, where Moses entered one time, or several times, but where he entered into the presence of God and then he left the presence of God. Now with the Holy Spirit, when we receive Christ, what happens? We receive the Holy Spirit in our heart. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're His. And He comes and lives within us. Does the Holy Spirit presence grow less over time? No. In actuality, the glory of God grows over time as the Holy Spirit works within us and transforms us, conforming us more and more and more into the very image of God. We don't become God, but He makes us more and more, brings us closer to that until He carries us into heaven, until He brings us into His presence on the final day. This is what's going on. Now, on the one, the glory fades because the source of the glory, that which we're reflecting, has been removed. It was just written on stone. Yet, here, now, we as Christians, the church, universal, every person on this earth who receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, has the Holy Spirit residing in their heart. And that light from that is then reflected in their lives. John couldn't have set me up better with the story that he told today. Here we have a Coptic Christian who's living in Egypt. And over time, he's being a quiet Christian. He's obeying the rules of the country. He's not proselytizing. He's not proclaiming the glory of God. He's just living a quiet life. And then God speaks to him. God transforms him, conforms him more into His image. And what happens? He opens his mouth. He praises God. Then he gets arrested. He gets tortured. Then he gets released. And he goes out and does it again. They got this great catch and release program where they catch him doing it, they arrest him, goes into prison. Okay, I'll proselytize here. I'll evangelize here. Oh, they kick me out, let me out of prison, now I'll go here. No, he pays a penalty. But yet God is present with him and gives him the strength to endure and to go through and to do all of this for the glory of God. And he's leading people to Christ. People who are not Christians are feeling and sensing and knowing the power of the Word of God and of the prayers that this man is praying. Why? Because now he's not reflecting the law. He's reflecting the gospel, the Holy Spirit. That which is not written on stone, but written on his heart, written on our hearts. Now, Paul has set this up beautifully. It's classic Hebrew-style poetry where you have one item juxtapositioned against another and you go back and forth. We have the law and the Holy Spirit. We have the stone in our hearts. We have that which kills in life. We have the glory that fades and the glory that increases and lasts. That which is brings bondage and that which brings freedom. That which is unchanged and that which is transformed. That which is dull and that which is bright and glorious. That which brings condemnation and that brings which brings righteousness. That which is reflected only by Moses. Did all the people of Israel reflect the law? Reflect that glory? No, only Moses did. Does only your pastor reflect the glory of God? Absolutely not. You all reflect it a whole lot more than I do. Glory of God reflected by all who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That which condemned and versus that which brings hope. That which tied people up and made them afraid versus that which gave them freedom and boldness. This is what Paul lays out here for us in these passages. So, oh, Pastor, that's interesting. That's great. So? That's all? Well, we have a therefore in here. And therefore, I think what God's Word is saying here is that we need to live in the hope and boldness of the freedom that comes from the indwelling, heart-changing, heart-written, transforming Word and glory of the living God that lives within us. That's what we need to live. People, we need to live with boldness like this man, this Coptic Christian in Egypt. Are we living boldly? Or are we living cringing in fear? Not wanting to be noticed. Not wanting to be criticized. Or to be one who brings any conflict. See, God did. Jesus is indeed the Prince of Peace, but He said He didn't come just to bring peace. He came to bring division between brothers, between parents and their children, family. What's the division? Those who will receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and those who will not. Those who reflect the glory of God and those who have only the law. We need to let the glory of God live within us, unveiled. Paul talks here about how the Word of God is veiled. The law veils it. It hides God's glory. It hides understanding. If I have a veil, can you really know me? Can you see me? No. When Christ died on the cross, what happened in the temple? The veil was torn in two. That which was between the Holy of Holies and those who came to worship. Well, this is where our living God wants us to be, in His presence, reflecting His glory. Living with boldness. Living Christ within us, unveiled. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Yeah? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your Word. We thank you that you write your word on our hearts. Lord, that your word transforms us and conforms us to your image. Lord, that you, the Holy Spirit, are God and you live within our hearts. According to your very word, you tell us this. Say that the Lord, who is the Spirit, that you write on our hearts and you live within us and that you seal us and that you are present and conform us and transform us more and more each and every day to the image of Christ. Lord, might we be bold in that unveiling of your presence in our life. Might we live so others see it and believe it. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.